Welcome to Information Security Magazine's Ping interview for June. I'm Mike Momoso, editor of Information Security. This month, I spoke to FDIC Associate Director Michael L. Jackson. Jackson talks about FIFEC, the guidance from the FDIC on risk assessments and strong authentication for financial services institutions. I start off with a question about Jackson's role in the development of the guidance. Mike, just starting off at the recent RSA conference, you kind of call yourself the fall guy with regard to the FIFEC regulation. Could you explain your role in the development and maintenance of the regulation?
Yeah, I don't know if the fall guy, that was just really just for the audience
okay. To
kind of perk them up a little bit. But at the time when the FFIEC guidance was developed on the authentication and internet banking environment, I was the chairman of the FFIEC IT subcommittee, which actually developed the guidance, and now I'm a member of that subcommittee. But the subcommittee members are the ones that developed it and also approved it. And that was just kind of a segment just to kind of get the audience loosened up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. What can you tell me about the evolution of the regulation in during the early days? What were some of the early iterations? What did it look like? What was the initial goals, and how did it compare to the final product?
Early on, the FDIC did a study in 2004, and we more specifically, the study covered online banking and the risk identified in online banking. And that study identified risk and vulnerabilities and fraud in online banking as the fastest growing form of identity theft, even though it wasn't a major form of identity theft. And that study also concluded that there were technologies out there that could mitigate some of those risks in online banking. That study became one of the basis for the FFIEC, the IT symposium that was held in 2005. With that symposium, the FFIEC agencies actually went out and talked to people in the industry about online banking and the issues with it, or if there were issues with it, and also the risk of identity theft. If you recall, in 2004 and 2005, phishing was very prominent. And there were a lot of phishing attempts aimed at banks and customers of those banks, and they were pretty successful at the time. So the agencies got together and decided that there were some things out there that we could do as an agency to be more proactive. And when I say that, is to increase the controls over online banking, which would actually mitigate some of the risks from phishing attempts thereafter. So the agencies got together at the symposium, and after they looked at what was developed at the symposium, decided that some guidance would be very helpful and beneficial to the industry as a whole. And with that, the agencies concluded that we needed to have the agency actually increase the security controls over online banking. And so that was kind of like the early impetus for developing that guidance. Mm-hmm. We got responses from the industry that indicated they didn't want us to be prescriptive in pushing out guidance. They didn't want us to say that one size fits all as far as technology. And so the agencies got together and really worked very hard to develop a guidance that would actually fit the industry quite well. The guidance that we pushed out was not prescriptive. It was technology neutral, as we call it, and it was very flexible. It gave the industry over a year to actually start developing procedures and risk assessments to get in compliance with it. And so the guidance went into effect January the 1st, 2007.
You mentioned now that deadline, December 31st, recently passed. What's your sense for compliance out there? Are most financial services institutions compliant or at least close?
Our early, as I say, kick of the tires, early indications are yes. From what we know, the industry has responded very positive to this guidance. But you have to keep in mind that the agencies are not doing anything different outside the normal exam process. Mm-hmm. That means that if an organization is scheduled for exam, the exam will proceed and we will look at the guidance. If the institution is not scheduled for an exam, we will not go in specific just to look at the guidance. We were just doing the normal course of our examination business.
Mm-hmm. You hinted a little earlier that corporate America doesn't always want the government involved in especially with prescriptive technologies and recommendations. Do you get the sense that this was kind of a welcome guidance?
I'm not sure the industry would ever say they welcome guidance.
Mm-hmm.
But I think from my early indication was I think there was some apprehension on the part of industry of the type of guidance and also potential restrictions of the guidance and how it may negatively impact or restrict what the institutions do as far as the information security programs go, and also in developing risk assessments, and also what technologies that they chose to adopt. And I think as the guidance rolled out and we explained it to the industry, there were a lot of questions from the industry early on with the guidance because it was very neutral, very open. And we held a lot of conference calls. When I say we, the FFIEC agency held a lot of conference calls, teleconferences with industry groups and with the financial sector to talk about questions and issues or concerns that they may have. I think once that clarification got out there, I think that the industry was fairly comfortable with it.
Are you hearing any feedback from financial services institutions that are struggling to comply, and what are some of the concerns from them, and what kind of considerations do you give in return in terms of perhaps some leeway, some extensions in terms of compliance?
The guidance actually gave some accommodation to the institutions that were impacted by Hurricanes Katrina and Rita.
Mm-hmm.
We understood that they had a lot of other things on their mind, and some of them were just basically getting the operation back up. So we gave a pass to them for the data compliance. Some of the concerns the institutions have was the risk assessments. That's always been a concern since security guidance came out several years ago. They wanted to know, some of the questions were, can we do a security assessment of the application, or should we do one enterprise-wide? And we left that up to the organization to decide what was best for them, and also who could do the risk assessment. And we also indicated that that can be contracted out, but the institution is still ultimately responsible for it.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the other concerns was a specific technology. Early on, when we released the guidance, and before it actually became effective, there was talk in the press about, well, tokens were the preferred solution. And the agencies reiterated numerous times that there was no preferred solution, that the solutions had to be as a result of the bank's risk assessment and their business decision. We did not endorse any specific technology for any institution. As you know, we have institutions of various sizes, and also the guidance applied to technology service providers, which were larger, and actually provided services to sometimes thousands of banks. So there was concern there. And the considerations that the organization wanted to impress upon the industry was that that would be decided at the examiner and the bank level. Our examiners were given guidance that they would actually go in and look at the risk assessments, look at what was decided by the bank, talk with bank management, look at the implementation of the technology, and at that point make a decision whether there were some vulnerabilities with it, whether there's some issues with it, and how to proceed after that. So the consideration was done at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And we still keep it there because for Washington or for the agency to dictate off-site about what solutions are, if they're in compliance, if there are other things that can be done, that's really not the way this was designed. This was designed to have a discussion at the examination of the institution between management and examiner. So that's where we left the flexibility. And I think the industry as a whole was very comfortable with that.
Mm-hmm.
Because they understood that the decision cannot be made somewhere else. And it also gave management opportunity to explain, if necessary, what the decisions were based on.
Mm-hmm. Among those that have reached compliance, are you getting a sense that it's limited or strictly those financial services institutions that are larger in scope with more resources, and are some of the smaller ones struggling to meet the requirements?
Not necessarily, I would say, struggling to meet the requirements. They were given well over a year to actually look at that. If you go back to the FDIC study, which was in 2004, that was giving them a couple of years to actually to think about this and start working on solutions. I think some of the early issues that they may have was actually with their pilot programs that were developed and also customer adoption. And as you know, a business decision can be made, but if your customers reject it, then you have to look at another solution. So what the agencies did early on was actually go out with ID theft symposiums, and symposiums actually covered this topic and to the industry and to consumer groups to talk about some of the things that we felt that consumers should take a look at and maybe try to adopt. And maybe work with the institution in adopting these technologies that they actually offered out. So I think with that, customer education was a very significant factor, and there was some early concern, but I think the industry as a whole has responded very well.
Mm-hmm. What is the word on consumer pushback? Are consumers noticing stronger authentication demands, and what's the impact on business?
Well, that I don't have a great handle on, but early indications, since it's only been a couple months, is that consumers are curious about it, and I think that they understand that it is something that actually impacts them, and it makes it, it secures their funds a little more than they were before. The bankers that I've talked to is that there's not a wholesale rejection of it. Consumers are basically comfortable with it. They're okay with it. It's just something that's different. And right now, the early indications from the consumers is positive.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've mentioned a couple of times that financial services institutions don't want the government to be prescriptive. Are they finding that difficult in terms of, are their risk assessments kind of vague and in terms of which technologies and which directions they go with?
No, I don't think that's the case. Mm-hmm. I think that the risk assessment is unique to the individual institution. One of the things that each institution has to do is look at any vulnerability, look at all the assets, look at any vulnerabilities or any potential impacts on vulnerabilities, and they have to assess that. The agencies are not prescriptive in telling the institutions what risk assessment they have to do. We look at them to make sure they're comprehensive. And then also we work with the industry to make sure that if there are some tweaks to it or some slight revisions to it, that we work toward that solution. But wholesale, that is up to the institution. And as they have new technologies or new business products out there, those products need to be included in their risk assessments. And so they don't have to do a risk assessment for the whole enterprise potentially, but they do need to take a look at it and see where it fits in. And decide if they want to do a risk assessment that covers that application or the business line, or they want to do enterprise-wide. And the regulators are not prescriptive in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they were fine with that. And I think that, like I said, early on, they asked that we not be prescriptive. But after talking with several bankers at RSA and other different venues, they're fine with it. And some of them even welcomed it, and they felt that it was very good for the industry as a whole. Some of the large institutions were already doing multi-factor authentication, and they were very familiar with risk assessments. Mm-hmm. So that's something they need to look at on an annual basis anyway. But it's not that the industry is saying don't continue to be prescriptive. They're not saying that. That hasn't been something that I've heard.
Right.
Early on, they were asking that we not take that approach. And I guess as the guidance went out and clarification went out in the form of conference calls and teleconferences and meetings with bankers, I think they got more comfortable with it.
What channels of communication do you have with the financial services institutions? Is there something formal, or is it just ad hoc meetings with different folks as you run into them? What's that process like?
Well, we when I say we, the FFIC agencies, we have regular forums that we present at with the ABA, the ICBA, the ACB, and also with BITS, and any other organizations that represent financial institutions. We also have, sometimes we have meetings with financial institutions that are just informal, where they've asked questions. And when we get a lot of questions, we try to work through the trade associations And the reason we do that is that they have a large audience. They can reach a lot of bankers. And by doing that, we can reach a lot of bankers and actually discuss, you know, our position and our thoughts on any specific guidance or regulations or any issues.
Mm-hmm.
So we usually work you know, in that regard with the trade associations. But there are times where banks have asked for, you know, conferences or something with us, and we will accommodate that. So that's normally what the channels that we work through.
Mm-hmm. Do you see the FFIEC acting as a model for something similar that could be applied in other markets like healthcare that could be considering similar mandates for doing business online?
Mike, that's a possibility. Some of the questions I've gotten by going out in different forms is that is this the security industry going to adopt multi-factor authentication? And I would leave that to the industry. Maybe healthcare, they may want to take a look at it and see if this actually is a solution for them. But I just want to say that we know that multi-factor authentication is not a silver bullet. Is not the end-all, be-all,
mm-hmm.
but we think it is very good for the industry, and early indications that I've gotten, it is good for the industry in that the number of successful phishing attempts have gone down. I have not had opportunity to actually flesh out the numbers, but the initial analysis that I've gotten from a niche representative was that the numbers have gone down as far as the successful phishing attempts. And I think education of consumers and customers has also played a big role in that, where we, the FDIC, the other agencies, the financial institutions, the industry, has gone out and tried to educate consumers on the different vulnerabilities that are out there and how their behavior can impact the success rate. But I would say for the other industries, I would think that they would want to take a look at it and see if it actually is a solution they want to adopt.
What comes next for this regulation? Is there a formalized process for tweaking some of the language or adding some stipulations going forward? What's that like?
The next steps I would see is that we will continue to try to educate the consumer on the different vulnerabilities out there and maybe some of their habits that they have and maybe improving those. But I think we have to look at customer acceptance. That's going to continue to be something that institutions have to look at and that regulators have to consider when we look at organizations and how they've implemented this technology. We have to look at implementation vulnerabilities. Some of the technology that rolled out, they weren't implemented properly. They could also create vulnerabilities in the technology. We need to look at the technology risk. A lot of times when you have new products or things that are developed, once it's actually into production, and now we have these technologies in the industry, we have to see if there's any risk that actually come up based on that. Institutions have to look at the business impact, how it has impacted their business, and how the adoption has gone as far as the customers. Strengthening authentication solutions. I think that some of these technologies that are out there, the weaker ones that have a lot of vulnerabilities that come up later, they will probably be dropped by the industry and maybe other solutions will be adopted. And as we go forward, the regulators will have to work with institution management to see what choices they make later, if they're good choices, and also if they're still moving forward. If not, we have to think about some solutions that we can work out together between regulator and institution management.
Mike, as a final question, is online banking safer because of FFIEC right now and are consumers more secure?
I think it is safer. I think it is more secure. And I think that, like I said before, this is not the end-all, be-all, but I think it was a step in the right direction. I think if you look at the numbers, for online banking, I think we will see that they have continued to increase as far as new users go. I think existing users will start using more of the features of online banking will continue. Where in 2005, we saw those lines becoming more flat in using additional features and some apprehension in using or going to online banking because of a lot of the vulnerabilities that are out there, a lot of the different breaches that occurred, and a lot of the phishing attacks that were occurring.